Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm with my friend Sean Bowles, and I'm Bob Haston. Sean, what are we doing today?
Well, Bob, have you ever looked back and realized the detour was actually the road? What a statement, right? Today, we're going to talk about divine setups and how God uses closed doors, odd timing, and really unlikely people to position you for your purpose and career and business and just your life in general. And we're going to unpack how to recognize what God's orchestrating a divine setup and not random luck or just something that happened, but providence with God's fingerprints. Then we're going to sit down and I think this is a returning guest. I guess maybe this is the first time we've had him on this show, but I've had him on my Sean Bowles show, Pastor Jesse Bradley, who's the lead pastor and chaplain in professional soccer, author of The Power of the Second Thought, and a man whose journey from pro athlete to evangelist is a masterclass in trusting God's redirection. So we're going to love that story, even in light of our real talk. Okay, Bob, here we go. So many of us pray for open doors, and then we get super confused and the doors we expected stay shut. How do we discern a divine setup from a simple frustration? I was reading a sermon online by John Maxwell that had to do with this very thing, but different language, of course, because John Maxwell is a little different than I would communicate it. But what I saw was divine setup often arrives in three disguises, and one is resistance, one is in redirects, and one's in relationships. And resistance tests your character, redirects change your path, and relationships, those random introductions, become the hinge that God uses to swing the door open.
It's incredible because we think we have timing in our own lives, right? We think we have timing for all the issues that we've planned. But one of the, like when you're talking about divine setups, one of the clues for me, first of all, is does it make sense? And generally when God's behind something, it doesn't make sense. Because all the planning, all the strategy, all the things that line up under the road that you're going to make sense. And then God shows up and it doesn't make sense. And so I get to this place where there's multiple alignments that are happening. There's a confirmation in prayer. There's a scripture that sticks. There's somebody, a mentor, a pastor, a friend, somebody who you trust says something that all kind of aligns to this thing. And you realize, is this a coincidence or is this God? Is this God choreographing something in my life that I thought I was going one direction and now God's taking me in another direction?
Well, I feel like both you and I have lived that out. We've watched each other go into things like even this podcast, you know, like you would have never dreamed of this podcast and being a host and asking people their business stories in this kind of context. I never thought I was going to go into traditional media. I thought I was going to go more into other things. And so like the fact that I'm, you know, our ministry is creating these kinds of podcasts and that I'm a programmer for different Christian television channels. I never thought Christian media would be a thing. So I think like in the journey though, God doesn't ever waste the planning we do. He just bypasses it sometimes. I think he refocuses it, but I think it's important that we do plan. And I think we hold our plans like really like this, saying, God, we need you to come and do something beyond what we could plan or hope for in our wildest dreams, Ephesians 3:20, like do something that's a God thing, not a me thing.
I love that. You and I both believe in strategic planning and business planning, and we're both planners. And I just had something recently happen where we had been working on this pre-construction effort on a job, and our team had valued that we were going to win the job at 95%, and we lost the job. And oh my gosh, like, you know, what's going on? And everybody was upset, and I was trying to maintain my godly perspective of God's protecting us. 2 weeks later, we got a call from another client, and they said, hey, we need this big job. We need you on this big job in 3 weeks.
Wow. And
God just replaced the thing like supernaturally. It wasn't on a radar. We didn't know about it. And away we go. And so like I thought the direction was going that way. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a divine setup to take the direction another way. And if I would have, you know, laid down and looked up at the ceiling and said, God, why did this happen? But I, for whatever reason, I didn't dwell on it. And I saw God move in a different direction that increased our cash flow, that increased our planning, that increased all the things that we thought we needed. He did it in a completely different way. And I think we have to be open to.
I was going to say, I remember being with this couple and I was pastorally consulting them as a business couple. And the woman was really upset because the man, all of his plans that he'd done, now they were like in their seventh year of planning for their business. And they were about to execute and launch some things that hinged on some partnerships that they had built, and it had fallen through. And so her first thought was, they were an Asian couple from Singapore. Her first thought was, he must have sinned. So what did he do? Because she didn't sin. So he must have sinned because he destroyed the opportunity somehow through a sin. Even though it wasn't like directly his fault, but there must be an open door. And I remember just saying, I think that's a religious way to look at it. And if you're always looking for a sin, you're going to find it, because we're all sinful human. I'm a sinful human being. We're all sinful. And we can take the things that we're wrestling with and disqualify ourselves. I'm not talking about gross immorality. I'm not talking about things you go to jail for, but I'm just saying like every day there's something, you know, like I get too angry at my the worker in my yard or something. And it's like every day there's something I can acclaim and attribute that my life is going to demolish God's plans if I live outside of a grace perspective. But when you live within a grace perspective, you look at it and go, what if the following out or the following through, like God allowed you to build this far into it so that you'd have this available, but someone else is going to come. It's your exact story. Someone else is going to come and take this all the way into where it's supposed to go. These were not your right partners. And mm-hmm. She's like, I just can't believe for that. And he goes, I can. And so we prayed and she goes, heal my unbelief, God, but I can't believe for that today. And they called me like it was within 2 months, 3 months later, and said, we have the most amazing business partners. We met through a conference that you did in Singapore. We met them there and they had the money, but they didn't have the projects. And they were trying to, it was like a inheritance money. They didn't know what to do with it. And we were partnering with them. They love our vision. They've adopted it as theirs. You were right. It wasn't about sin. It wasn't about the, like God did create a holding container of business that we were working diligently after, that if we weren't available to it, this opportunity would have been available. It wouldn't have been there, you know? And I think that when I look at God redirecting or God doing something different, we can live in a place of like allowing God to nudge us and there's peace in it. Or we can live in fear that we've done something wrong. And in the redirection, when it looks different than what we can control, we can start to be controlling it another way, in a religious way. That's like, I'm going to try and get control over the principles of my inner life and my morality and all these things, which is good. We should always live that way. But sometimes there's people who do it in a way that they're going to earn their way into that grace again, what they were believing for.
I love that. When you tell that story, I think about just the book of Job, and I recently preached on that. Is God good through the book of Job? And his friends just thought, like, you have to had sinned for this to happen to you, and there wasn't. And so it's so amazing when God, that's a dramatic way to redirect, but when God redirects, but which we have to trust him in, we have to commit our ways to him. Psalm 37:5. I think just being patient and not confusing delay with denial. It's divine setups are all over the place, and we have to have our eyes open for them, Sean.
Totally. And I think that our guest today is going to be a great person to bring us there, because speaking of divine setups, he's lived one out in real time. I love his story. You haven't heard it yet, but you're going to love it. Today, we're welcoming back Pastor Jesse Bradley. When I say welcoming back, he's been on some of my other media that I've done. And his story is remarkable. He was an atheist who met Jesus in a religion class at Dartmouth when he became a professional soccer player overseas. And a sudden life-threatening illness ended his athletic career completely, but it launched a decade-long recovery that God used to refocus his whole calling. And today, Jesse's the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in the Seattle area and is chaplain of the Seattle Sounders and the U.S. Men's U-20 team, a frequent guest on major networks, and co-founder of Just Choose Hope, where over 1 million people have decided to follow Jesus through global initiatives. And his latest book, he's going to talk about it at the very end, is The Power of the Second Thought, which equips us to replace lies with God's truth and cultivate indestructible hope. Jesse, I'm so glad he's going to be back with us, Bob. You're going to love this story. And those of you who are listening to Jesse for your first time, can you imagine being a star athlete and losing your whole career and then asking God, what next? That's what you're going to hear.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts or social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos, and this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry. But we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family, and we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Welcome back. Hey, Sean, we're here with Jesse Bradley. I mean, this is going to be amazing. Jesse, welcome.
Bob, thank you. It's an honor to be with you today. And thank you for highlighting the marketplace, because so often we think faith just has to stay Sunday mornings in a church. And where we live, work, learn, play, that's where God does the great stuff. And honored to connect with a lot of business people, entrepreneurs today, people that are just jumping on looking for something practical. And let's grow together.
Yeah, Pastor Jesse, I think that, you know, hearing from your perspective, a lot of people might see a church up in the Northwest that's doing just amazing, and they don't know the story of the man who was in soccer professionally and some of the things that you've done in your past. Take us kind of back to that soccer career and talk about the highs and lows of that.
When I was 2 years old, I wanted to play professional sports, and played three sports in high school, went to Dartmouth, played soccer there. And we won Ivy League titles, made to the final eight NCAA Division I. And then I played overseas in Scotland and Africa. In my thinking, I was going to be a professional goalkeeper till I was 40 and have just a wonderful career. But in Africa, I was prescribed to take a medication to prevent malaria. And what was supposed to protect me was actually killing me. And it ended my career. I came back to the States, saw a lot of different doctors, fighting for my life for 1 year, took 10 years to fully recover. And Sean, I think a lot of people can relate. When life is going one way and you kind of have your plan in your mind or on paper, and then life's not going that way anymore, and it's out of your control. And what do you do in those moments? Because it tests you to the core. And I never thought, you know, I would be a pastor. I never thought I'd be a chaplain with soccer for Seattle Sounders now, under 20 men's national team. Through the World Cup, last World Cup, we saw 480,000 people come to know Jesus. Wow. And I say this, you know, just to encourage you, because sometimes you think it's over, but there's in the book of Joel, the years the locusts have eaten, God will restore. And God still had a great purpose in soccer for me. But it was very different than what I ever anticipated. So my encouragement is just trusting God. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay there. Jesus is our good shepherd. And to be honest, that's when I grew the most, because fruit often, you know, it grows in the valleys, not the mountaintops. And God does his greatest work in the darkest times. After the death of Jesus, there's a resurrection. So my message today is hope. The hope of Jesus is personal. It's infinite. It's available. And I didn't find hope until I lost it. And we can cultivate habits to grow in terms of receiving hope and giving hope. And that's where God did a deep work in me, is when I was fighting for my life for a year. And during that recovery, there was a lot of shifts that needed to happen in my life.
Well, Pastor Jesse, tell me this. You're a world-class athlete. You're across the world. You're in the best shape of your life. And all of a sudden, your body stops functioning. Your mind stops functioning. How did you commune with God in this? Because you're at the height of your powers right now, and your body's failing you.
Bob, it was one of the worst feelings, and not only in Africa, but then I had to come home. Never thought I'd move into my parents' basement. They have a baby monitor on all night to make sure there's not an emergency episode with my heart, and we still don't know what the cause is. We're paying out of pocket. I go to Stanford. The physician there lists 10 possible causes, one of those side effects of the medication. That's when God spoke to me and said, that's what it is. The doctors all told me, keep taking the medication because the malaria strand in Zimbabwe is fatal. And they didn't want me to get malaria on top of my illness because they didn't know what the cause was. So they told me I've got to keep taking it for a month. And I'm not saying you should always go against what doctors say, but I prayed and God said, don't take that drug. So I told all the doctors, I'm not going to do it. I put my foot down. I had that conviction from the Lord. Then we sent my blood to the Center for Disease Control, and their testing came back weeks later and said, you have toxic levels of the medication in you. And again, if I didn't pray and listen to God and like tell the doctors I'm not going to do it, we might not be having this interview here. So God shows up in the darkest moment. Listen to his voice. Like, he's the God who communicates his spirit, his word. And I also wrestled with, who am I? Because my life pattern had been achieve Ivy League school or professional soccer. And now I don't have anything to do. And without that, who am I? And one of those shifts was from a performance-based identity, which is a cruel trap of inflated and deflated and pride and shame, to know my deepest identity can't be in something I can lose. I can lose my health. I can lose soccer. I can lose that career. But I won't lose this relationship with God. And my identity is based on grace, not achieving. And then now I'm secure in the Lord. And with that, I'll be in his family forever.
What was the catalyst for that like identity lesson? Because I think most of the church is there, right, in the performance kind of grind, as far as not sonship, but like servitude to God. Like, I'll do anything you ask, God, but it's not like out of a thing, I'm going to do it with you. It's, I'm going to do it for you. So like, how did you get to that place where, in that dark season of like, you're my father?
I love the relational emphasis there. You know, abide with Jesus, then you're going to bear much fruit. Jesus called the disciples to him to be with him, then he sent them out. We're in a culture that's addicted to achievement. What have you done? How well have you done it? What have you done lately? And that can all really lead us the wrong direction. So for me, Sean, it came back to scripture. All of the lies that were coming in, all the negative first thoughts, I had to come back to, well, what does God say? And I started to memorize scripture, highlight scripture, put scripture on my wall. God is my refuge, strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Perfect love drives out fear. And it was a renewal of my mind and heart and soul. And that shift, the word of God is powerful. It's living and active. And I also needed to open up. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your heart to the Lord. And my coping mechanism in life had been do better, try harder, improve, white knuckle, get through it. And a lot of denial in there. And people say, how are you doing? And I would tell them, I'm doing fine. And they would say, give me a break. Like, that's not authentic. We can see what you're going through. And I didn't know how to receive love and let people in. And that might sound basic to a lot of people, but it's easy to be kind of an island, independent. We're not self-sufficient. We need God. We need other people. And for me to let my guard down, even my view of God had to change, because I thought God's impressed when I'm doing well. When there's success, then that's the part that God really likes. But I didn't know that God was just as interested in coming into those places where there's uncertainty, doubts, some sin. I mean, just a mixture of things. There was one night where I felt the most distant from God. And it was kind of that dark night of the soul as I was going through this. And literally the next day, my uncle, who's a professional comedian, and he's been, you know, doing drugs forever and no interest in God, He calls me up and he said, Jesse, you're not going to believe what just happened. I was in a hotel. It was in Iowa. I opened up the Bible and it was like everything became clear. Elvis is not king. Jesus is king is how he said it. Like, Jesse, I put my trust in Jesus. I mean, those were his words. And like out of that like funk I was in, it was just this reminder. Like my uncle Dan just called me. Wait, God's still moving. God still loves us. God's still with us. And that was a huge turning point in my recovery.
So good.
I'm going to kind of fast forward now to where you started to feel like a call for pastoring. Because, I mean, you were so clearly that you were aiming one way. And then all of a sudden, you had this interruption of life, of this sickness. Talk about, like, how did God put in your heart to say pastoring is your real calling?
Sean, I was an atheist when I went to Dartmouth. I never read the Bible, never went to church, never talked with Christians. No one shared their faith with me. And reading the Gospel of John, and then one student named Mike, who was on the track team, had the courage to ask me questions and then let me ask questions, a safe place. For 1 year, I asked over 100 questions, reliability of the Bible, resurrection of Jesus. I want to know the evidence. You know, facts lead to faith. And I was reading the Bible and reading Mike. He was the only Christian I knew. So I was reading both. And it was like, he's authentic. There's something here. And so ministry was never on my mind. When I decided in my recovery, as I was starting to gain strength, I'll volunteer. That was with middle school. And I got a little taste of it. I still remember reading a book at that time saying, when God leads you to something, there's a sense of compulsion. Like my name is on it, urgency. There's a sense of joy, like, you know, I'm made for this, God's with me. And there's a sense that this is way bigger than me, and I'm going to have to rely on God. And those things stayed consistent. What's ironic is that, you know, my family said, don't go into ministry, it'll be a slap in the face of the family. And, you know, my family's kind of like Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors spiritually, and a whole bunch of different stories. And then even my mentor was like, no, don't go to seminary. So I went to Dallas for school, for seminary, and I didn't know anyone there. I didn't have any money. I prayed every day God would keep me out of debt. And my parents, who don't believe, said, that's a big prayer. And I said, we've got a big God. And I graduated with no debt. And there's supernatural stories. There's stories of people that didn't know me or know my church, just writing thousands of dollars checks and then saying, contacting the church and saying, give this to someone in seminary. This was in Oakland. A man just said, I just supposed to give this to this church to say to give this to someone in seminary. And my pastor received it. He's like, we only have one person in seminary. Send it to Jesse. And there it was, you know, stayed out of debt. So God kept confirming and affirming, you know, as you're walking by faith. And honestly, when I finished grad school then, and my nickname in grad school, some of the guys called me Limp Biscuit. That's not a flattering nickname, but there I was, you know, I could study with my mind, but I was still recovering. And it was like, by faith. It wasn't until I became a college pastor in Iowa City, University of Iowa, spiritually dark place in Iowa. And we had 20 students there. It was like, finally, 10 years later, I got my strength back.
Wow. 10 years.
Like, here it comes. And it's like, it's on. And I felt like instead of having 10 tokens each day of energy and time and stuff, I felt like I was rationing two for like 10 years. Like, am I going to do this or this? I would try to work and then I would get sick and I'd have to quit the job. I couldn't handle it physically. So to get the strength back 10 years later, it was like God graced it. And then we went from 20 to 800 and people getting saved every week. And it was like, I was basically reaching me. I showed up in college, skeptical, atheist. I don't believe in this stuff. And then I would meet so many people in that situation, and then they would come to the Lord, then they would tell their friends. And so it felt like the book of Acts, and I'm a kid in a candy store.
What's God doing now? What are you seeing out there now? What's he doing in your life?
It is so exciting to follow Jesus right now. I would say this. I've been in Seattle for 10 years. There hasn't been one easy year. Seattle's the least religious city in America. For our church, Billy Graham came here 73 years ago, preached downtown under the Space Needle. So people came to know Jesus, started a Bible study. That's our church. That's how now, and we're multi-ethnic, we're multi-generational. And to be in Seattle as a mission field, What I've seen is there's no limits to what God can do. In COVID, we started with drive-through prayer one day because we thought everyone's isolated, everyone's confused, they're hurting. We opened up our parking lot. Do you know, I can say now, 5.5 years later, we do it twice a week. And we've trained so many sites around the country. Drive-through prayers multiplied. So don't despise small beginnings. Mm-hmm. If the X is solid, it'll 10X, it'll 100X. Make sure the X is solid. Don't 10X something that's not solid, you know. And something like that, we stumbled into it. The best plans are not from a committee, and then we say how awesome the committee was. It's more we messed up. What are we learning? Let's process. God will take your lowest points, and then that'll become your ministry. And it's not always a success points. Yes, you're gifted. Use your gifts. But because no one told me the gospel for 18 years, I'm passionate that everyone should hear the gospel. Because my parents divorced when I was 7 and dad's gone, I'm passionate we adopted a child. I'm passionate about every child having a forever family, you know? Yes. Because I suffered as a soccer player and I know how brutal the end of my career was, I serve as a chaplain now to care for mental health and spiritual walk of professional athletes. You know, those low points, God will take that pain and forge a new purpose and passion. That's my encouragement to anyone who's listening. It's easy to get caught up in just performance, humanism, best principle. We do need principles. Absolutely. Best practices. We need them. Let's save the headaches and heartaches. But this is a supernatural work that God's doing. And we have the form of godliness, but not the power. So, yeah, I love the Holy Spirit.
Love that.
When you think about what happens in a church and then what happens in a marketplace, sadly, the relationship sometimes is limping and struggling. And I think from a marketplace perspective, people that love Jesus, they look at the church and think, how can you move so slow? How can the vision be so small? Like, we want to bring excellence for Jesus. And then on the flip side, sometimes people just compartmentalize their faith into Sunday mornings. What churches sadly sometimes do is just reach out to people in the marketplace and say, write a big check. And sure, we want to be good stewards of our money, but there's so much more than just writing a check. And churches also can do this, like people from the marketplace, just come in and fill a slot. We have a guy at our church. When I first arrived here, his name's Steve, and he does an incredible job in the marketplace with vision and strategy. So I brought him in and he was like, what? I'm not on church staff. And I'm like, but you're so gifted. And a lot of times we say the only place a business person could fit in the church is you either a greeter or you're, you know, holding babies. And those are both great roles. Absolutely. If that's your gift. But it might not be your gift. Your gift might be in a different area that the church really needs. So how can we work well together? And I think when the church is actually equipping, valuing the ministry of people who are in the marketplace and they see that's their ministry, and then they can use their gifts in the church, and they're more than just writing a check. Like, we're following Jesus together, learning from each other. Like, that's God's design. And we need some healing in that relationship, some clarity. And I think when that happens, cities are transformed. Let's keep praying for that. And I think let's bring out the best in each other.
You know, Jesse, I got saved in the Jesus movement in the late 70s. And, you know, as I grew up in the church as a business person, it was just what you said. Write a check and be quiet and hold babies. But over the decades, I've seen pastors and professional people come together as kings and priests and begin to, in an area of trust, begin to trust each other so that what you said can happen. And I'm seeing it happen. It sounds like it's happening in your church. It's happening in my church and other churches where there's a trust being built for the gifts behind the pulpit and the gifts behind the scenes with the marketplace people.
Absolutely. It's so refreshing too, Bob, because Ephesians 4, you equip all people where you live, work, learn, or play. Jesus says we're all ambassadors, we're all ministers, we're all priests. That's not my take. That's not our church. That's not a certificate online. That's God, his word. And so what can we provide in that way? You're not second rate if you're in the marketplace. And what we need is a bigger vision. And that includes going into schools, going into businesses, and who's there. I mean, where do you spend all your time? And for those people who are serving in the marketplace, a paycheck is great. You know, a job description is important. But when you really realize that this is your ministry primary and God wants to change lives there, then you're going to go beyond your job description. You're going to invite some of those people out to lunch. They might come over to your home. You're going to have opportunities to share your faith. And you need to shine your light, do your work well, because if you don't do your work well, no one's going to be curious about your faith. You know, you bring a low quality work. No one's going to be like, awesome, tell me about this God that you serve. So with excellence. But when you do it, God's going to open doors and there's going to be conversations there. And I think when a church values people in the marketplace and their ministry and equips them well and trains them well, that's what it takes to reach a city. And without that, the impact in a city is going to be minimal. People in the marketplace are essential. And it starts with conviction. So when a senior pastor realizes that, when they see it in the Word of God, now they're going to take action and it's going to flow out of that. So this podcast can actually increase that in amazing ways around the world. Keep bringing that message. And as a pastor, that's my heart too, is to see people in the marketplace built up.
I kind of asked one big question as we're ending here. And it's the fact that what maybe the enemy meant for evil, God's using for such an enormous good. You guys have started a soccer program that you're getting churches to adopt all over the world. And can you talk about that and then talk about your new book and how people can get a hold of you?
Sure. Victorybeyondthecup.com. We're mobilizing 10,000 churches.
Oh, that's it?
Oh, yeah. It's an easy thing. God, you know, God guides, God provides. This is going to be interesting. You don't have to like soccer or know soccer. A lot of Americans don't. But here's something to put in perspective. The Super Bowl, we think it's pretty big. Millions of people watch. The World Cup, 5 billion people watch. And so there's no close second. The World Cup, 6 weeks. What's happening is we're training people. And there's going to be city champions, key players. Like, there's a lot that I can't unpack right here. But if you go to victorybeyondthecup.com, that'll be your first taste. And the book is The Power of the Second Thought. In a nutshell, it's be intentional with your thoughts. It's the battle of your mind. You've got thousands of first thoughts every day that aren't from God. You don't have to believe them, harbor, or entertain them. They're hope thieves. Say, not in my house. Recognize what you're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking about. Reject the negative first thought. Replace it with an intentional second thought. Whatever's true, noble, right, whatever's excellent, praiseworthy, think about these things. Jesus was tempted. He had a second thought ready. He had scripture ready every time. Most Christians, when they're tempted, don't have a plan, don't have a scripture. Jesus modeled it. It's not complicated, but it's the renewal of the mind that scripture brings and taking every thought captive to Christ.
Well, Pastor Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. We love your story. We love your impact of what you're doing. What I love is that it feels so attainable for other people to hear that kind of story and go, I've been there or I'm there. Mm-hmm. And God, I need to have that encounter with you. And I need that Holy Spirit presence that Pastor Jesse's talking about. So I love that it's so attainable. Lots of people are walking through lots of things, but man, we have Jesus. And I'm so glad that you just shined him so well today. So thanks for being with us.
John, I appreciate just conversational, what you guys bring, the value you add for listeners, for viewers. And, you know, when things are going well, I like this, not to us, O Lord, not to us be the glory, but to your name because of your love and faithfulness. And our lives are a story of God's grace. And so we're celebrating the goodness of God together today.
That's so great. Jesse, thank you so much. And we will see you on Exploring the Marketplace next time.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.